Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My, my, my. He's worthy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not sure exactly how they acted on the day of Pentecost and the 120 was gathered in the upper room, but I would imagine it'd been sort of like what we've seen here today. Amen. When the power of the Lord comes down, you just about got no control over your actions. Amen. Glory to God. There's a saying, let go and let God. Amen. Let go and let God have His way. Praise God. Amen. This is refreshing. Glory to God. If you love this, you're going to love heaven. Amen. Because we're going to praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. And don't worry about getting tired, because you're going to have a body that's never going to tire anymore. You're going to have a glorified body. Amen. One just like the Lord Himself had. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let all of your visitors know how welcome they are. How glad we are they came to visit us this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Genesis. I feel kind of like the priest on the day when the Holy Spirit entered into the tabernacle. Amen. It was so thick. It was so boisterous. It was so overwhelming that the priest couldn't even stand to minister. I desire your prayers this morning. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. But I believe God has a word for us this morning. I truly believe that. Amen. And listen, if you can shout in the singing, you can shout in the word. Amen. Singing only lasts for a little while. The word lasts forever and ever and ever. Amen. Praise God. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, I want us to focus our attention beginning with verse number 15. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, let that sink in. The city's fixing to be destroyed. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. In parentheses, is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the manifestation of your Holy Spirit this morning, for those who came forward. Father, I thank you for victory. I thank you for performing miracles this morning. God, I pray that you would continue to bless this congregation. God, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay. It's nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, that the Holy Ghost may speak to us this morning, that we need to hear, that will produce growth and edification into our spirit, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will. And Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for the moving of your Holy Spirit In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise if you would. Now listen, I don't want you to quit praising the Lord. Come on. Just because we're preaching. Amen. I pray that the word touches us this morning. If I had a message title this morning, it would be, "It's Just a Little Sin." It's just a little sin. Can I give you a little bit of background? These are the cities and the plain that Lot chose. Remember when Abraham and Lot, his nephew, were going to the land that the Lord said, "I'll lead you and I'll take you to a place that you'd never been before." Man, some of us need to go there. Some of us need to go to a place in the Lord we've never been before. Abraham was a righteous man, and we read that Lot as well was righteous. But Lot had a few inadequacies, some that maybe Abraham did not have. A little doubt maybe, a little carnality, a little "it's all about me" syndrome. Whatever it was, Abraham, when they got to the land, he said, "You choose which one you want to go to, and I'll take what's left." Man. So Lot looked over and he saw the plain and he saw the possibility of a great yield of fruit and for his cattle and his herds and all. So he chose the plain, and Abraham took what was left. Man, because Abraham was a humble man. And lo and behold, as Lot began to take up his abode and the land of the plain, and specifically in Sodom and Gomorrah, evil began to be prevalent in this particular place that Lot chose. How many knows that sometimes what looks good is not really what's good? Sometimes what's enticing to the eye may be, in fact, detrimental to the soul. Wouldn't it be better if we said, "God, I don't know which one to pick. You just lead me where I need to go." Amen? And wherever you lead me, then I'll know that everything will be all right as long as I trust you. But evil began to be prevalent in this particular city, so much so that God looked on it and decided that he was going to destroy it. But Abraham, in his humility, said, "God, if I can just find 50 people of righteous behalf, would you spare it?" And God said, "Yeah, I'll spare it for 50 people." And you know the story. Abraham kept going to him because he couldn't find 50. They couldn't find 45. They couldn't find 40. They couldn't find 30. Couldn't find 20. He couldn't even find 10. He said, "Lord, if we find 10 righteous souls in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it?" And God said, "Yes, for 10 souls." But there were not 10 souls. Imagine the sin that was there and the iniquity that was there. So God prepared to destroy the city. But Lot, amen, had favor in God's eyes, mainly because Abraham had prayed for him and Abraham believed for him. So God sent two angels, the Bible tells us. And they found Lot. He was sitting on the gate, outside the gate of the city. Amen, he was trying to get away from the sin, but he wasn't far enough. Hello? Sometimes we want to be delivered, but we're still sitting at the gate of sin. We just want to be delivered by certain things. We don't want to be completely destroyed. Oh, y'all don't want me to go there, do you? But he was sitting there on the outside of the city at the gate. The two angels came up, and he invited them into his house. And you know the story, how that those that were immersed in sin, they came to him, and they wanted these angels. And Lot said, "No," said, you take my daughters. You can't touch the anointed of God." And you know the story. So the angels began to tell Lot, and they told him, said, "You're going to have to leave." And listen, when God speaks, he is very precise. Very seldom does God speak to me, tap me on the shoulder and say, "Eddie, what do you think? What do you want? Which way you want to go?" In fact, I don't even believe I can remember a time when God punched me on the shoulder and said, "Lord, Eddie, here, you give me your opinion." Because his thoughts and his ways are so much higher than mine. Man, and he doesn't need my input. But the angels begin to tell Lot, "You need to escape." You know, when I was growing up, and when my granddaddy was preaching in the pulpit,
He was saying you need to escape from your sinful life. Amen. Not only did he give a word of warning, but he gave an antidote. You must be born again. Hallelujah. You must put off the old man. You must repent and come clean. You must come to an altar of repentance and ask God to forgive you. Open up your heart's door. Invite him in. And I will assure you things will be different. Amen. And they will be different for the better. Amen. Praise God. You need to escape specifically to the mountain. I want you to let that sink in. Not only did God send the messengers to tell them they needed to escape, but he gave them the destination. You need to go to the mountain. And still, Lot lingered. I thank God for mercy. I thank him for grace. I thank him for forgiveness. But I also thank him for his patience with humanity. I cannot stand here today and tell you that the first time that the Holy Spirit checked my heart and pricked my soul that I came running to the altar. I would not be completely truthful with you if I said that. I did not. I lingered for whatever reason. One reason was I'm still young. I got a lot of seeds to sow. Praise God. I'm so glad, amen, that when I came to the altar, I still had a lot of seeds to sow. But I throw them seeds away. Amen. I don't have them anymore. I don't need to sow them anymore. I done sowed all the wild seeds that I'll ever need to sow. But I lingered. I lingered for whatever reason. I'm too young. I still got too much fun in my life. You know, I'll get saved when time is right for me. Can I tell you, you're not promised tomorrow. Can I tell you, not even promise your next breath? The way that I read the Bible, the breath of God is on loan to us. He could snatch it away anytime. Can I just tell you, go ahead and be saved now. Go ahead and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Go ahead and live for the Lord and quit tarrying. Quit putting it off to a better time. I've heard people say, preacher, when I get my life straight, I'm going to come to the Lord. I got news for you. You'll never straighten out your life. You can't straighten it out. Only the mercy of God can straighten out the mess that I brought to the altar. Amen. But Lot tarried. He tarried. I don't know if he was contemplating, I don't want to leave this. This is where my possessions are. The Bible doesn't go into any detail. Could it be that he had grown comfortable with sin around him? Not saying that Lot was completely involved in the sin, but could he have gotten comfortable with the things of the world? Church, could it be possible that the church is getting comfortable with the things that we hear on the news, with the things that we see coming to pass in current events? We're not participating in them, but we've grown comfortable to hearing about them. So therefore, we may have quit praying for the world. We may have quit praying for our children. We may have quit praying for those who are lost and undone. Can I tell you, the time to escape to the mountain is now. The spiritual mountain that God has provided for us. But he tarried, not wanting to leave right away. God, I want you to save me, but not today. God, I want to live for you, but I want it to be in the future. So he lingered. Now let me tell you something. Things are pretty bad when God sends an angel or two in this particular situation, and they actually take hold of the hand of Lot and his family and forcibly take them outside of the city. Can I tell you, I'm so glad that God loves us enough. There has been times, and I want to share this with you, that the Holy Spirit has actually grabbed me by force and said, no, you don't need to be involved in that. And it takes my hand and it begins to lead me in a different direction. Amen. What looked good was detrimental. What I thought was good was against God. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God that He sends the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us and to pull us out of the fire and to pull us out of the ways and the harms of Satan and all of the wiles of the devil. So the angels took Lot and his wife and his two daughters, and the son-in-laws were given an opportunity to escape to the mountain, to be saved. But they chose the pleasures of the world over the pleasures of God. If you're here today, and somehow in your mind, Satan has painted such a wonderful picture of the sin and iniquity that is in your life, and you think for some reason that it is more pleasurable to live a life of sin and iniquity than it is to live a life for the Lord, I pray that God would break those chains that have you bound. He would have you to have a clear mind and know that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make that change. So the angels took them by the hand. They led them forth outside of the city. Now I want you to understand the word from the angels, which was expressly the word of God, okay? These angels were sent for a mission. To escape, and to escape to a place that I'm going to tell you of. Go to the mountains. Do not look back. Come on. I believe that means not only physically, but spiritually. Once God has saved you, once God has rescued you, you don't need to look back to the world. You don't need to desire anything that is in the past. Amen. Thank God that is in the past. And can I remind you, what's in the past has been erased. Glory to God. You're not guilty of that anymore. It doesn't matter how sinful you were when you came to Jesus and the blood of Jesus was applied to your life. It's all behind you. Glory to God. Everything in front of you is obedience unto God. Somebody ought to shout, praise God, amen, that He delivered me from my past. Hallelujah. Don't you look back. Don't desire what God brought you out of. Hallelujah. Escape to the mountain. Why? Oh, you're going to be consumed. Can I tell you, the political correctness of the world today doesn't want preachers to stand in the pulpit and talk about hell. Don't talk about that, brother. That's offensive. Can I tell you, the word offended me. Thank God it did. Because if it had appeased me, I may have never made a move to the altar. But because it offended me, because it hurt my feelings, because it told me I couldn't keep doing what I was doing, amen, thank God I came to an altar of repentance. I said, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to escape and not be consumed in hellfire. And Lot did three cartwheels, jumped up, down, said, thank you, Lord, I'll do exactly what you say. My Bible don't read that way either. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if every time God spoke to us, we never questioned Him. We just did it. Just did it. Well, how much happier we'd be, how much more blessed we would be, how many more miracles we'd see, how many more revivals would take place if when God spoke it, we just did it. Amen. If He said go, we go. If He said stop, we stop. If He said sit down, we sit down. Amen. If He said praise the Lord, we praise the Lord. Amen. But so many times we say, oh no, God, don't let this be so. God, don't ask me to do that. Let the preacher do it. Let the board members go and tell them. No, God didn't say it ain't so. Don't ask me. You know I don't speak well. You know somebody else could do a better job. Can I tell you, God doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was talking to somebody else. He knows who He's talking to. When He asks you to do something, He's not had His mind on anybody else. He's got His mind on you. And when He asks you and when He asks me, we need to be submissive and obedient and just get up and do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord says, no, not so, my Lord. And then he begins to petition God and try to bargain with God. And don't you sit here and say you've never done that. Because I can't stand here and say I've never done that. I've pleaded with God. I've told Him, God, I'm your servant. Like he forgot. Lord, I gave my life to you years and years ago. And he'd have to look back in the book and say, oh yeah, there you are. This is God you're speaking to. He knows everything. He knows your thoughts before you do. He knows what's in your heart. Amen. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Some of you, that ain't hard. He knows everything there is to know about you. He's not mixed up. He knows what he's talking about. But Lord, if I found grace in thy sight, thou hast magnified thy mercy to me, which you've showed in saving my life. But Lord, I just can't do what you asked me to do. I just can't escape to the mountain. And I read that over and over and over. And I began to try to put myself, so many times I do that when I'm reading the Word of God. I try to put myself in the place or in the mind of the character that's transpiring. And many times to get a clearer picture. And I'm thinking now, this is just me. I am thinking that if two angels sent from God come, rescued me out of a city that was fixing to be destroyed with hailstone and hell and brimstone, I believe I would want to run as far and as fast and as quick as I possibly could. And Lord, don't tell me. You don't even have to warn me about looking back, because I ain't going to look back. I'm going to look ahead. But not Lot. Not Lot. He said, Lord, if I found mercy and grace in your eyes, here, I just can't go to the mountain. And I'm wondering why. Why not? Why is it we can't do what God specifically asked us to do? And I wrote down three suggestions. Why Lot chose not to obey God and escape to the mountain. Let me just suggest three reasons. Number one, his words. Some evil may come upon me and I may die. I already mentioned God's, he's patient. He's kind. He's gentle. He's forgiving. But I'm thinking, God rolled his eyes back. What? Are you kidding me? I just sent two of my best angels to bring you out of destruction, to bring you out of being consumed with the other iniquities. Do you not think that if I've saved you once, I can protect you in the future? If you don't think that I saved you, don't you know I walk with you? I didn't bring you out of sin to be destroyed. I didn't save you so that you might die. I saved you so that you might live. Glory to God. When God says go, go. Don't think about it. Just obey Him. My Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Lot was a righteous man. We're not talking about some rank sinner. We're talking about one who obeyed God. Folks, it can happen to the most elite. When we begin to try to think and persuade God to change His mind. Come on. Some evil may come upon me. Lot, what are you just leaving? My goodness. To a mountain to be protected. May I suggest to you, then all of Lot's righteousness and his obedience, could it possibly be that his faith had grown weak? Can I tell you though that Lot was a righteous man, not considered basically a sinner against God, but he was surrounded by it. Sin has consequences. Come on. Sin will encompass you. But I'm righteous. I can live beyond it. Come on, you're giving yourself too much credit. Glory to God. Young people, when you are surrounded by those that are doing evil, it is so very difficult to become the shining light as an example. Many, many times we are persuaded by those that are around us rather than winning those that are around us to the Lord. Sin has consequences. Sin can surround you. And in this case, I believe it had weakened Lot's faith a little bit. Listen, I didn't say he was lost. I didn't say he's going to hell. I said his faith had become weak. So much so that he didn't think that God could protect him if he went to the mountain. Some evil might befall me. I might die. If that was not the one and only reason, may I suggest to you a second reason that Lot may have contemplated. He didn't say it. But could he have thought, the mountain is too far away? Hello. God, I'll give my life to you and I'll live for you and I'll repent of my sins. But don't you ask me to do too much. I remember telling God, that's kind of like Lot, when he started calling me to preach. Oh, Lord. Man, for 2 years, I came up with the greatest excuses in the world. I was so proud of my excuses. I practiced them. I worked on them. I rehearsed them before I prayed to God. Surely God will understand my excuse why I can't go all the way to that mountain. I want my sin behind me, and I want you with me, but I can't go that far. I can't preach. Could it have been that Lot thought, oh, that's too big of a journey. I can't go up there. That's too far. Let me just stay over here. It's not where I once was. Yeah, but can I tell you, it ain't far enough away from where you once was. When I saw that in the Word, I said, Lord have mercy. You see, y'all hear me preach, but this is the second time I heard this preaching. God preached it to me this week. And I felt like Rodney Dangerfield. Whoa, whoa. God, don't get no respect here. God, I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to tell them. He said, but how can you tell them if I don't tell you? Now, the mountain's too far away. It'll take too long. Oh, I love this phrase. If you don't hear anything else, think about this. He lacked spiritual endurance. The race is not to the swiftest. Boy, I've seen some swift folks, amen. But on around the curve and on down life's journey, they done run out of gas. Thank God, still going. Not that fast, but I'm still going. There goes one of the swift ones by the wayside. There goes one that started out with a bang. But where are they now? God's not concerned about how fast you are. He's concerned about how much endurance you got. Can you make it to the end? Can you go all the way? Come on, can you lay down every burden? Can you pick up your robe and crown? It's not to the swiftest. It's the one that endures to the end. Hallelujah. That mountain's too far. Come on. He lacked spiritual endurance. Sometimes God's words requires us to simply walk by faith. Come on. It's interesting to say the word doesn't really say run by faith. It says walk by faith. Stay in the race. Well, if it maybe wasn't either one of those two excuses, And Lot's kind of like me. He's got a bunch more. If them don't work, I'll throw another one out there. Could it have possibly been that Lot thought the mountain was too high up? Praise God. There was a time in my life when we, I'm saying a bunch, a youth church, a youth group from the church went to Stone Mountain. And we run up that hill. Sometimes young folks got more energy than they got sense. Like it was something great to be the first one. And you didn't get no prize, you just got to brag. But since that time, I've been back to Stone Mountain. I lingered. Run on up the mountain if you want to. I'll check you later. I'm standing in line for the tram. Look at them young folks. Lord, that mountain's too high. You want me to do what? You want me to climb that mountain? No. Listen to what he said. No, not so, my Lord. You're wrong. That's what he's saying. Oh, Brother Eddie, yes, what he's saying. That's what we're saying when we say, no, Lord, you don't understand. Yes, he does. He understands more than we'll ever know. Oh, no, not so, Lord. Let me go to this little city. God, cleanse me of all my sin and iniquity, but leave this one alone. This one's not that bad. Because lots of folks are doing it. Well, I preached something else. Y'all want to quiet down on that one. The mountain is too high up. Or it'll take too much effort. Glory to God. Where did the Bible say effort's a bad thing? Come on. Or could it be that I'm all right where I am. I don't want to climb up and get any closer to the Lord. Because that'll take too much effort. I'm happy just being down here. Just being saved. On my way to heaven. But I want you on the mountaintop. You let somebody else get on the mountaintop. Somebody that's got more talent than me. Somebody that's got more drive than me. Somebody that can get the word and quote scripture more than me. No, God said, I want you on the mountain. I want you up there. Come on, climb that mountain. Hallelujah. Oh, you remember that phrase a while ago? He lacked spiritual endurance. How many like that phrase? You're going to love this one. Mountain's too high. I don't want to climb any closer. Are you ready? I hope it's as exciting to you as it was to me. Because I could identify with it. You know, phrases are a dime a dozen, but when one strikes home, woo! Lot was more comfortable at spiritual sea level. Glory to God. Y'all do what you want to. I'm going to put this down and start shouting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because when I said that, I said Eddie was too comfortable at spiritual sea level. a calm sea, no winds roaring, no waves a splashing, my boat not a rocking. But how many knows that only when the sea became tempestuous, when the waves began to roll, when the water began to come into the boat, that's when Jesus showed up. Glory to God. Sometimes we don't need Him on a calm sea, but you let the boat start rocking. We need Jesus then. Oh, come on into the boat, Lord. I need you now. Glory to God. Do not become comfortable at spiritual sea level. Always aim to be better than yesterday. Always look, amen, for opportunities to do something for the Lord today. Glory to God. Man, I got to hurry up. The lines are getting long at Burger King. Double whopper, please, with onion rings. Nobody better not be ordering that by cell phone either right now. You're not going to eat before I do. More comfortable at spiritual sea level. So, Lord, I got a deal for you. Let me go to this little city. Can I emphasize, it's just a little one. It's just a little disobedience. It's just a little thing that I have. It's just a little sin. Was it the small foxes that spoils the vine? Just me thinking, if our fruit was higher up, the little foxes couldn't get them, right? Here's my fruit. See my fruit? It's all right down here. Why don't you have that fruit way up there? Amen. Where Satan can't rob you. Where the little foxes can't get you. Amen. Y'all are lucky. That wasn't even in my notes. The little city. Let me go there. You know what? God allowed him to do it. Can I tell you that I did? Sin has consequences. Disobedience might look pretty good right now. Changing God's mind might look good pretty good right now. But down the road, it's going to bring forth some consequences. You're going to reap what you sow. So God allowed him to. But he said, you know what? You can't do nothing until you get out of here. Because I can't do nothing to this city. Come on. I can't destroy it until you make that move. You want your sin destroyed? Come on, move up to the mountain. Come on, leave those things behind. And don't go to the nearest city outside the one that's just been destroyed. It don't even make sense. But Lot said, let me go to Zoar. Can I tell you something a little bit about Zoar? It was a little city. It was down at the base of the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea, the Sea of Salt. Looked like it would be far enough away from Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities. So many times we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, there were actually two other cities. How many remembers that there actually was five which God was going to destroy? The last one was Zoar, the little city. God said, I'm going to get rid of those big sins in your life, but I'm also wanting to destroy that little thing, that little sin that does so easily beset us. But I need your obedience. I need you to make a clean escape. I need you to turn your back on everything, amen, up to this point and get ready for a new life. Oh, no, 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 not so, Lord. Let me go to Zoar. And God allowed him to go to Zoar. The little sin that we don't want destroyed. You know, those big sins. God doesn't classify them, by the way. He has no degree on sin. Sin is sin to Him. We do. We're ready to get rid of all them. But let me go to Zoar. Don't destroy this little sin. Don't destroy this thing that is so enjoyable in my life that I can't sacrifice for You. But you know what? Even after we have petitioned God and bargained God, God has a way of getting our attention. If you'll read the story, it didn't take a lot long to find out I'm in the wrong place. Sometimes what you ask God to let you be, find out later, is in the wrong place. If you'd just obeyed God to start with, you'd have had less problems and troubles. So he realized, he came to his senses, and he left Zoar. Finally, went to the mountains. But you know what? Some sin followed him there. And that's a story for another time. What I want you to remember is, don't tell God it's just a little sin. It's just a little thing that I can't give up. It's just a little thing, Lord, that You can take away all the rest of it. But let me go to Zoar. Let me continue to live in this situation. I don't think it'll harm me. Other people are doing it. That's some of Satan's biggest lies that he'll ever tell. You know, I can't help what other people do. As for Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We choose to serve the Lord. Glory to God. Would you stand? Thank God for the blessing that He has bestowed upon us today. Thank God for those who came forward this morning, amen, to receive from God healing, refreshing, deliverance, even for medical situations that's going to be performed next week. Some already came up for prayer and put it in God's hands. Thank God for that. But can I speak to you in closing today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and every saint of God praying and searching your heart? Is there that little enticing, almost comfortable, favorable situation in your life that for some reason you just can't seem to give up? And it has caused a spiritual blockage. I didn't say you'd lost. I didn't say you're backslidden. I didn't say you've forgotten God or He's forgotten you. I'm just saying maybe you're living just a little bit too close to what God delivered you from. When you got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you got out of that iniquity, you should have run to the mountain as fast as you could instead of camping out in Zoar. And I hope you understand the spiritual connection with this. Not really talking about the natural cities now. I'm talking about the spiritual connotation that God's Word expressly puts in our heart and our mind to turn from our evil, wicked ways and turn to God. If there's one, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you feel that you need to come, then this altar is open. I know that some have already been to the altar, but maybe this applies to you. And if it does, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Please, nobody looking around. If not, would you be honest with the pastor? Nobody else looking. Would you just lift your hand and this pastor will know to pray for you? I promise you, I will not come back. I will not say a word to you. I'll just pray with you and I'll pray for you. God bless those hands. Listen, I love you. I love you. I want to see every one of you in heaven. Amen. You think this fun here? It's going to be so much fun in heaven. God bless you. We love you. Brother Jim, would you come?